Mishnah, Chafam Beis at the bottom, Hayoshen Tach Chasamit B'Sukkah Yotzi De Chavaso. One who sleeps under a bed in the Sukkah is not Yotzi as Chiyav, because he's not sleeping under the Schach. He's sleeping under a bed. He's sleeping under an oil. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Noigin Ayinu Sheinu Yeshenim Tach Chasamit B'Pnei Azikinim Alam Alana Dover. We would sleep. Our minhag, our practice was to sleep underneath beds in the Sukkah. From the Zakenim, in order that the older people, the Zakenim, or the more wiser people, they would have room to sit and sleep in the sukkah. So we would sleep as Bachrim or Yungaman would sleep under the bed. And they never said anything to us. So you see, it's okay to sleep under a bed. Machlokes, Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, can you sleep under the bed in the sukkah? I'm Rabbi Shimon, says Rabbi Shimon. Maisa b'tevi, avdash Rabban Gamliel. There was a maisa b'tevi, the servant of Rabban Gamliel, shahaya yoshen tacha samito. He was sleeping under the bed in the sukkah. V'amar lahen Rabban Gamliel zikeinim. And Rabban Gamliel said to the zikeinim, re'isim tevi avdi, shahu tamid hacham. You see what a tamid hacham, my eved, tevi is? V'yodeya she'avodim p'tirim min ha'sukkah. L'fichach yoshenu tacha samito. He knows that an eved's putter from having to sit in the sukkah. That's why he's sleeping under the bed. Levitar Chenu Lamanu, says Rabbi Shimon. As a Talmud, we would be medayik in context. He said this to us in a casual context, casual talk. He wasn't specifically coming to tell us a halacha, but as Talmidim, everything the Rebbe says, we were medayik in, we would draw out from and put into context to learn from. Levitar Chenu Lamanu, Shayoshen Tachasamita Liotzi De Chavasa. From that statement, we derived that must be that somebody who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah is not Yotze his chiyav. So Rabbi Shimon again would be like the opinion of the Tanakhama. Why, Tosus asks, why doesn't Tevi sleep outside the sukkah? Why does he have to sleep under the bed? Put him in a sukkah. So sleep outside the sukkah in a bed. Why is he sleeping under the bed in the sukkah? So Tosus says, because Tevi, and this shows that Tevi was a Talmid Chacham, Tevi wanted to hear the conversation of the Chachamim in the sukkah. He wanted to learn. That's part of the point that we see. He's a Talmid Chacham. Not only does he know the halacha that he's pater, but he wants to learn Torah from the discussion of the Chachamim who will be in the sukkah with Rabban Gamliel. So he's sleeping under the bed. No, he's a Eved Kanani. Sara. We say the following. We mentioned earlier in the Gemara, in the first parak, that a mita, a bed, only counts as an oil. I.e. only will be considered a separate domain, in a sense, if it's 10 tefachim off the ground, i.e. the bottom of the frame of the bed is 10 tefachim above the ground. That would make it an oil to say you're under the bed, not under the sukkah. But if it's less than 10 tefachim, then we see that space is closed, and you're really under the schach, not under the domain of the bed. So, who says the bed here is 10 tefachim? Targum Shmuel b'mita asara. Shmuel translated the Mishnah to say, we're talking by a bed that is 10 tefachim off the ground. Less than 10 tefachim would not be an issue. I'm going to throw something out here real quick. Bunk beds in the sukkah. The top bed is less than 10 tefachim above the bottom bed. That's a machlokas, a poskim, kinyan Torah, shevet Levi. If you want to do it, you know from in your sukkah, you should ask a rabbi. Okay. Tanan Hesem. Echod chur shecharu mayim, oshrotzim oshechato mileches. We're getting into what is an oil, right? Definition of an oil. You're under an oil. You're under a domain. For purposes of sukkah, it would only be an issue if it's 10 tefachim by the bed. Now for tuma, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Aleph, that the minimum dimensions of an oel for the purpose of containing tuma and spreading tuma throughout that area underneath the roof would be, if there's a tefach by tefach area, that's a tefach high. That's what the Rambam says. The beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Hilchos Tumas Meis. So we're going to deal with what is the formation of that oil, l'inyan tuma. That's what we're about to get into. And we'll see what's going on. We'll see how we get into that. We're talking oilin, so we get into Hilchos, oil, l'gabe tumas meis. Again, that would be to be chotzeitz bifnei tuma, to block the tuma and contain it underneath the roof, and to spread it to anywhere else that is underneath the roof. If there's a kli under the same roof and you have an oil, the tuma would hit the top of the roof, spread outward, and be matame the kli elsewhere underneath that roof. Okay, so what about naturally formed oilim? That's what we're going to get into. Echod chur, any hole, any crevice, any chlal, that's a tefach by tefach, with the height of a tefach, would be an oil. Both a chur, both a hole, shecharuvu mayim, that was formed in a rock through the abrasion of a stream hitting part of it, o shrutzim, or through certain animals like a mole or a groundhog that would dig, o shechaltim leches, or through the salt level of the soil by this rock. Eventually, the rock decayed, and there developed a crevice, a chalal, a hole, within the rock that's covered, of a tefach, by tefach, that's a tefach high. V'kein midvach avonim, and so to a pile of rocks. If among this pile of rocks, there's a space between the rocks, that's a tefach by tefach, brum tefach, it's an oil, v'kein sorar shokaros, and so to with a pile of boards. Again, if there's a space in between the boards, in this pile, that you have this hole, that's tefach by tefach, tefach high. That would be an oil. Those are all mahil al hatuma. Those will all serve as oilim on tuma. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol oil she'ena wasi b'diyadam in an oil. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Any oil, any oil containment that is not made by a person, that is naturally formed, is not an oil. It has to have been made by a person with the intention of creating an oil. Oil literally means a tent. In this case, we're calling it a contained area, a roofed area. My Taima, the Rebbe Yehuda. Where does Rebbe Yehuda get that naturally formed oilim are not considered roofs to contain tuma? Yolif oil oil mishkan. He has a gzeirah shava of oil oil. The word oil here to the word oil by mishkan. Ksiv hacha. It says here by tumas oilim, by where there's a mace, tumas mace underneath an oil. It says zos hatayra adam kiyomis ba oil. Uksiv hesem. And it says there by the mishkan v'yifros es ha oil al ha mishkan, that they spread the oil over the mishkan. They spread it. Just like there, it's man-made. So to hear the oil that will serve as an oil for the purpose of tuma, a roof to contain and spread tuma, that's only going to be if it's man-made. The Rabbanon. Why don't the Rabbanon have this Gezeirah Shava? What do they do with the Gezeirah Shava from the Mishkan? They say, oil, oil, riba. They say, if you look at the Pasuk by Zos HaTara Adam Kemis Ba'oil, by Tumas Mace, the Pasuk says, Zos hatara adam kiyemes ba'oil, kol ha-bo el ha-oil, anyone who comes into the oil, v'kol ha-shir bi-oil, and anything that's in the oil, yit mashivas yamim. So we have oil like three times in that pasuk. So one of those are going to be extraneous, and that'll be coming to include even naturally formed oilim. Okay. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda, kol oil she'eno also be the adamino oil. So now we're going to analyze that statement. We have a machlokas, naturally formed oilim. Is it an oil? Chachamim, yes. Rabbi Yehuda, no. Is that really the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold an oil that's not man-made is not an oil? Or aminu, we bring a contradiction to this idea that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we all did Yuma, and usually people remember the first few daf, and then it gets blurry in the middle, and then you remember the end. That's the normal trend. So this comes up in the beginning of Yuma. There's a Mishnah in Parah. We have to give a little background to make it easier. There's a Mishnah in Parah in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zion. The Mishnah says that the question was, when the Kohen prepares the ashes of the Parah Duma, the Pasuk says, V'osav ish tohor es efer ha-parah. An ish tohor has to prepare the ashes of the Parah Aduma, of the red heifer, which you would then sprinkle on somebody who is Tommy Mace. Okay. It says, because it says tohor, so there's a halacha that if somebody comes in contact with the sheretz, for example, he would then be tovel during the day, and he's called a tovel yom until the night, until sunset. So is that considered tohor or not? the tzedokim, the Sadducees, held a tuvul yom, that's not considered ish tahor, for whatever reason. And therefore they said a tuvul yom cannot prepare the ashes of the paraduma. The Rabbanan said, no, tuvul yom can prepare the ashes of the paraduma. So what did they do? Says the Mishnah in Para, mitamen hayu es hakoyin asar v'sapara, mipnei tzedokim. They would actually be metame, they would take a sheretz, and be metame, the kohen that would prepare the ashes of the paraduma, take him to a mikvah and be tovalim, and make him into a tavol yom, and then he would prepare the ashes of the para just to show the tzedokim that this is okay. That's what they would do. Now, because they did that, and they obviously better if he's totally tahor, they were worried people might come to be more makel with the tahara of the paradum in general. They might come to be more makel with it in general. So because of this kula, this one small kula, they made tons and tons of chumras to compensate. And that's the opinion of Reish Lakish, that the whole prisha of 7 days of the Kohen in the beginning of Yuma is only a result, only a chumra because of this kula, to counteract the kula. What we're about to get into are a number of chumras that they did to counteract this kula, to compensate the kula. Rabbi Yoshev points out, why only by this issue, there are many arguments amongst the tzedakim, why only by this issue did they go so far to make so many chumras to go to compensate and get so worried and make this whole big deal about this issue of the tzedakim? This issue that Ken Tavul Yom prepare the ashes of the para. He says, because this is the one time that we ever find the tzedokim were machmir. They were mekhilim, the tzedokim. They were big mekhilim. This is the one time they got stark. The one time they decided this will be the chumra. And therefore, we were worried that since here they're going lechumra, so people might come to take on their practice. Because when you're lechumra, you're safe. You're playing it safe. Therefore, because this one time was the issue, that's why here we find so much response to the opinion of the tzedokim. Let's continue. Raminu, so we say, again, this is a Mishnah in Par and Perek Gimel. Mishnah base, Chatzeres Hayu Benuyas B'Yerushalayim. This is, again, our chumras to show tahara for the para aduma to compensate that kula of making the kohen who prepares the ashes of the para into a tavul yom. Chatzeres Hayu Benuyas B'Yerushalayim. There were courtyards built in Yerushalayim, Agav HaSela, on top of a rock. There was like a big, you know, black top of a rock. V'tachteyem chalal. And underneath that rock was hollow, basically. With a chalal, at least the tefach. So if there's any tuma underneath the ground, there is this oil of a tefach already that it would hit and wouldn't then go through the ground to the courtyard. So these were built on top of a hollowed black top. That's the way we're reviewing it. Hallowed cella. These courtyards. V'tachteim chalal. Mipnei kever atum. Because of kever hatum. Because of a suffix that there might be a mace. There might be a mace underneath the ground. Who their coffin is not of a tefach space. And therefore the tomb of the mace would go through the ground. Would technically then go into the courtyard. And be matame whoever is there. So instead they created this hollowed black top, that would serve as an oil, the hollow of it, the chalal of it, and the top level would block, would be a roof on the tumah. So whoever's on top is not going to become tame from whatever tumah might be present underneath the ground. That's what they would do. Kevratum is a term to mean suffic tumah, because the possibility that there might be a tumah underneath, there might be a body underneath. And nashim ubros, and they would bring pregnant women there. Viyodos sham, and they would give birth there. Megadlos b'neim sham lapara, and they would raise their children there for the purpose of doing the avoda of the para aduma. Umevian shvarim, they would bring oxen, viagabei and delosis, and on top of them would be a board. Basically, there's the animal, and then you have a board resting across the animal on its back. Like sometimes we see, like the Arabs, they'll carry things, you know, on one side, the other side. This is the board on top of the back of the animal. So they would have delusis on top of the shvarim. V'tinokos yojvan agabeyan, and these tinokos would sit on top of the boards, on top of the oxen. V'kosos shel evan b'yadeyan, and they would have cups made of stone in their hands. Again, that's another chumra that we find in Maseches Parah, that the parah was only any kalim used in the parah process, in the preparation of the parah duma process, were only kli avanim, kli galalim, or kli adama, which are materials, kalim of stone or earth, which are materials that are not makabel tuma. Again, to show that everything has to be b'tahara. All chumras, all chumras. Okay. Higiyu l'shiluach, they came to the Shiluach River. Yardu l'toch hamayim, and they would get off of the animal, these kids, umilum, and they would fill up these cups, v'olaviyaz v'lehem, and they would go back and sit down. Now, this was a natural spring water. You need mayim chayim, you need natural spring water for the paradum, and that's where they would get it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Mim kamo hayim ashal shem amali mipnei kever atum. Rabbi Yossi says that the child would sit on top of the par, on top of the shvarim, on top of these oxen, and he would then lower down his cup and fill it and bring it back up, like a fishing rod, like a dali. So he would then bring it back up. Okay. That is the Mishnah of this process. Vitanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and we learn in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said, Lo hayumevian delasis elishvarim. They wouldn't use delasis. They wouldn't use boards. Now, why did they have these boards? So again, the idea of the boards was just in case there is any tuma around for whatever reason. You already had a halal. They're going outside the city here. They were built. These children, again, these cities were built on top of a hollowed blacktop. So you already have an oil to block any tuma that would be underneath. But these children, to go to the Shiluach River, were leaving the city. They were leaving this area. They were going out into the field. So then what's going to block the tumah if there's any tumah underneath? So they would make these delosses, these boards, on the back of the shvarim, on the back of these oxen, on which the child would sit, that would serve to block any tumah that would be underneath the ground. Because again, they're leaving the blacktop. They're leaving this Evan. There might not be an oil to block the tumah. They would use the boards on top of these oxen. Okay. That's a background. V'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo hayamevian delosis el shvarim. Rabbi Yehuda says they wouldn't use boards. The children would simply sit on top of the oxen. And the body of the ox would be wide enough that from the ground to the bottom of its stomach, says the Rabbeinu Avraham Minahar, that would already serve as an oil to block the tumah. And they're wide enough that the child would be completely covered by this ox, by the body, by the belly of this ox. Rashi Taka Ayin Rashi, he says it's the spine of the behemoth, the spine of the ox, that's the roof, not the belly of the ox. See the Erech Lener, how he understands Rashi on Amud Beis, he discusses this. Okay.
Doesn't the ox become top of him? The ox doesn't come top?
No, he's alive. Okay. So we say, fine. Where are we going with this? Big tangent. We say, Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me I can use the ox as a oil to block tumah. Right? That's an oil, the oil she'enu asa b'di adam. That's not man-made. That was our question. Before we had a machlokas, naturally formed, oil is an oil or not, Rabbi Yehuda held, no, how can an ox be an oil here? Right? The oil sheinu asa b'di adam hu. Miktani Rabbi Yehuda oimei elohai mevin delosis el shvarim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, they just used the ox. They didn't use boards. Ki osa ravdimi amar Rabbi Elazar, moide Rabbi Yehuda kemali egrov. When Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rabbi Elazar that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to where the oil is a male egrov by a male egrov, the fist size of a gigantic person, which would be the size of a normal person's head, or the size of a baby's head, depending on different people say different things. But that's how big it would be, basically. So you have this male egrov, which is bigger than a tefach. It would be a male egrov by male egrov, with the height of a male egrov. If you have that space, then Rabbi Yehuda would be moida. He would agree that even naturally formed oilim of that halal, of that space, would be an oil. It's only by a tefach by tefach space, or less than the male egrov, that he argues. Tanya Namihachi, and we learn this in a Braisa as well. Really, this is the end of the previous Mishnah that we brought. Umoda Rabbi Yehuda b'shkifin u'b'nikike ha'sloyim. That we find Rabbi Yehuda agrees to in a certain case to naturally formed oilim by shekifin, by where there's a mountain of stones and one of the stones is blown away by the wind, creating an airspace. U'b'nikike ha'sloyim, where the rock is naturally dipped. There's natural incision in the rock. He agrees. Okay, well, what's that case? We said before that naturally formed he doesn't hold as an oil, and here he holds is an oil. So you have to say, at a certain point, he agrees that it's an oil. And we're setting that point at Kimali Egrov. When it's a Mali Egrov, Kimali Egrov, a person's size of a normal person's head, right? That's the one by one and the height. That would be an oil, even if it's naturally formed, according to Rebbe Yehuda. Oh, v'hari delas deish b'kame egrofin, v'ketani Rebbe Yehuda oimer lohayim evian delasis. Oh, we have a delas, this board, right, that they had on top of the ox. That would be many egrofin. That would still meet the standards. By the way, the board is also maisa b'de'adam, right? It was man-made. So why are we only saying you need Kimali Egrov? Even the Tefach would be okay, and the Mepharshim discuss that. But let's continue. And Rabbi Yehuda says they didn't bring Delosis. Basically, it's a quick question. As we've defined Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in Oilin, those boards should be in oil. So why didn't they use boards? That's the basic question of the Gemara here. Why didn't they use boards in the case, in Para, by the oxes, right? He said, just the ox. That'll be the oil. You don't need to have a board going on the back of the ox. Why not? As we've defined Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in Oilim, that either Maisa b'de'adam, Tefach by Tefach is okay, naturally formed Mali Egrov by Mali Egrov is okay. The boards are okay. That would be an oil. Why not? Why does he hold that they wouldn't use these delosses? Amar Rabbi Lehutzruch l'havi delosses. Says Abaye, right, V'ketani Rabbi Yehuda oimer lohayim evian delosses ol shvarim amar Abaye lehutzruch l'havi delosses. Abaye says that they didn't need to use delosses. Not that that wouldn't be an oil. Not that they didn't work. They did work. But Rabbi Yehuda held that they didn't need the delosses. They already had the oxes. Right, and the oxes were wide enough to be an oil. So that's that. Now the Tanakhama who held that you did need the delosses, right, now he should agree to Rabbi Yehuda seemingly that the shvarim, these oxes, would be an oil. So why does he need the delosses? So see the Perish Mishnayos there in the Maseches Parah. That was just another chumrah. You already had it, but just to show even more, it was just a chumrah on top of chumras here. So it really was unnecessary, even by the Tanakhama, according to the Perish Mishnayos. Okay, let's continue. So that's the first opinion why Rabbi Yehuda held that you just use the oxes, you don't need the delosses. Ena Chanami says Abaye, you could have had delosses. He's just saying that they didn't require that. Lehutzerchu lahavi delosses. Rava Amar, Rava says, Lohayim evian delosses kolikar. Rava says, no. Rabbi Yehuda held that they could not use these boards. They shouldn't put these boards on top of the oxen when the children are going on these oxen to fill the cups with the water of the Meshiluach. Why not? Why couldn't they have used a board on top of the ox? Mipnei, says Rava, Shemipnei shedaito shaltinik gasa olav shemiyotzi rosho echad meivara v'yitma. Because when he's on the ox, so a child, you know, if he's feeling a little unstable, he's feeling a little scared, he'll freeze up. He's not going to move. But naturally, if he gets more comfortable, he's going to move around, he's going to run around. And when he has that big platform of that board on top of that ox, which is secured, he's more likely to go to the edge of the board and look off the side and see what's going on. And maybe then, when he looks off the side or sticks his hand out, there might be a tumah outside of the boards. So he might extend himself beyond this oil that we've created and might become tameh. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda held, we shouldn't use a board on top of the oxen. V'yitma bekever atum, and he might become tameh in that case if he does extend his hand out, bekever atum, in suffik tumah. And Tani Kivasi the Rava. And we find the Brisa that really says, just like Rava, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lahem Evin Delosas Kol Iker. Rabbi Yehuda held they could not use boards on top of the oxen. Mipnei Shadayter Shotinei Kasa Olav Shem Yotzi Rosh HaVachim Evar V'yitma B'kevratum. Elam Evin Shvarim HaMitzrim. He says they couldn't use boards because maybe the child will extend himself beyond the board, his head or one of his limbs, and become Tamei with a possible presence of Tuma that would be underneath the ground. Elam Evin Shvarim HaMitzrim. Rather, they would bring Egyptian oxen, Shikriso Sayan Rechavis, that their bellies are very wide, Vahatinokos Yojvin Agibayan, and the Tinokos would sit on top of them, Vakosa Shoevin Biyadayan, with these stone cups in their hands. Again, this is just a brisa depicting the story according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Hegil Shiluach, and when they went to the Shiluach River, Yardu Malum Va'olav Yojvil Hanagibayan. They would get down, fill it up, and go back onto the ox. Fine. What's the machlokes, by the way? Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. Did they get down? Did they not get down? Did they lower the cup and bring it back up? Or did they actually get down and fill it? So Rashi holds that, because again, once you, Rabbi Yossi, the reason you have to lower it and fill it and not get down is because he's worried. Even that little bit of time that you get off the ox to fill the cup, that little space, there might be a suffix tuma. He might become Tommy. There might be tuma underneath the ground that is doesn't have an oil. And it'll come from the Tommy him. For that split second that he gets off to fill the water. So Rabbi Yossi held, again in that Mishnah, that you had to lower the cup. The Tanakhama held no. According to Rashi, the Tanakhama holds because you physically have to fill it. You can't lower it down. That was a requirement. Tosis holds there's no such requirement. Tosis just says the Tanakhama wasn't worried for that little bit of space. So how worried are we? And the whole idea is we're trying to get as close as possible to keep it as tar as possible, but it's impossible to keep these people entirely tahor, because think about it. The Tosefta says that they would only keep these children there until about 7 or 8 years old, because after that they might become tamei through carry. They might see carry. They may have a seminal emission and become tamei through that.
Were these children kohani?
No, not necessarily. And the Tosis points out, What's the big deal? They became Tame anyway at the birth. Because think about it. At the mother's birth, the mother's a Nida. And the child's coming in contact with the mother. So the child's Tame becomes Nida. That's what he says. And they would do Hazor, and they would be Tova the child, etc. After the birth. So says Tosus, it wasn't foolproof. But they were worried specifically about Tumas Mace, and of any tuma that results from a excretion of the body, right? Which would be like carry. Okay. And they did the best that they could. That's the inyan. The whole point is chumra is here, so they did the best that they could. Just to give a little perspective on that Mishnah and that discussion. Okay. Let's think for a second. I'm going to ask, just this is a key point in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda held that Kamali Egrov doesn't need to be Bidiyadim. Less than Kamali Egrov by Mali Egrov by oil does need to be Bidiyadim. Right, we're going back now. We're redefining, we're talking again in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, which is going to be the whole discussion of our Gemara. Where does he know that less than a Mali Egrov, Kamali Egrov, at the height of a Mali Egrov, that size of an oil needs to be man-made? From the Mishkan. Well, think about it. The Mishkan was bigger than a Mali Egrov by Mali Egrov. So where do you get from the Mishkan to limit an oil that's smaller than a Mali Egrov, Kamali Egrov, that only that small oil needs to be man-made and not Kamali Egrov, Kamali Egrov? That can be even naturally formed. The Mishkan was much bigger. So you should learn out from the Mishkan that an oil, the size of a Mishkan, the size of the Mishkan, needs to be man-made. Why does he set the standard so small? At less than a Mali Egrov, Kamali Egrov, that's the only case that it needs to be man-made, the oil. This is a bomb kasha in the Gemara, big kasha. And the Ritva answers basically because we're really not learning directly from the Mishkan. We're really learning from Mitzurah. In a Kavachomer from Mitzurah, Tosus brings it, that's where we really learn of the materials and the cases where an oil is an oil to be Matami Mace, right? To be considered a roof for the purposes of spreading and blocking Tumas Mace. That's really enough from Mitzurah. But because we have this Gezeirah Shava from the Mishkan, so therefore we see in a certain case, that's a sign that in a certain case, it needs to be man-made. And therefore we're going to limit it that at the weakest case, of what is an oil that would need to be man-made, which is a oil, says Rabbi Yehuda, of less than a mali egrov, kamali egrov. That's the limit. So that's how you just work out the Gemara. Because in review, that question should come up to your come on your mind. That's the answer. Okay, let's continue. Vahari mita. Now again, back in Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Back in Rabbi Yehuda's definition of what is an oil. Vahari mita diyesh bakama egrofim, you have a bed. Right? A bed is very high. We're talking about a tenth of fachim tall bed. So you have, that should be an oil. So why in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but non-Rabbi Yehuda oimer, noyagim hayinu sheinu yeshenim tachas amit b'fnei zekeinim. Rabbi Yehuda says a person can sleep under the bed in a sukkah. Oh, so now we're seeing where we're going with this. Now we're seeing how we're coming all, you know, coming back to our Mishnah with this. So he says we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah. So why isn't it an oil? Why not? You could say it's man-made. And you could say that it's bigger than a mali egrov by mali egrov. Size of a person's head by size of a person's head at the height of the size of the person's head. Why wouldn't this be an oil by Rabbi Yehuda? That it would be considered you're sitting underneath it and not underneath the schach. Gemara answers, Shani mita hoyo v'legaba asuya. It's different by a mita, by a bed, because the intention of the bed is really made to hold that which is on top of it. Therefore, it doesn't obtain a status of an oil to be considered a roof over that which is beneath it, unless it actually meets a height of ten tefachim. Only at ten tefachim would that be considered to be a roof, because its intended purpose is to hold that which is on top of it and not to cover that which is beneath it. So it doesn't meet that definition, and we had this earlier in the Gemara, in the first parak, this idea. So the Gemara asks on this principle, Shvarim nami legaben asuyin, so too the oxes, nami legaben asuyim, they're also made to hold that which is on their backs. The backs of the oxen are made to hold that which is on top of them, not necessarily to cover that which is underneath them. But that would be the useful purpose of the ox. That's how a person would use that part of the ox. So we say, so there also, it shouldn't be an oil at less than 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim, again, would be 80 centimeters. So a normal ox, it's not going to be 80 centimeters. It's not going to be 80 centimeters between its belly and the ground. Let's continue. It's brought in the piece of Ketuvah, it's 80 centimeters, is 10 tefachim. So we say, Ki osu Ravin amar Rabbi Elazar. When Ravin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Now we had this again in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Rathimi, here's Ravin. Ki osu Ravin amar Rabbi Elazar. Shani shvarim hoyol meginim ala royim b'chamim b'nei hachamim b'gashamim b'nei hachamim. It's different by oxen because they will cover over the shepherd. He'll take shade under the belly of the ox or protection under the belly of the ox in the sun to protect from the sun and in the rain to protect from the rain. So therefore, there is a seemingly a principal use, we're assuming, of the belly of the ox to roof, to cover that which is beneath it. Therefore, it can be an oil at even less than 10 tefachim, because the royim, the shepherds, will take shelter underneath it from the sun or from the rain. So too, a bed as well. A bed also has a function of serving as a cover, as a roof, over a person's shoes. The derech is to put your shoes, your sandals, underneath the bed. Rashi says a person shouldn't keep anything else underneath his bed, but shoes and sandals you should keep underneath his bed. And the bed is that function of being an oil, of being a cover over the sandals and the shoes. Ela Amar Rava Shani Shvarim Hoyel V'Asim LeHagina B'nei Me'ayim Shohen. Rather, it's different by Shvarim, by the oxen. Yeah. Meaning, we're going to say that this extent of use, of using it as a cover, is not going to be sufficient to render the ox a oil, the belly of the oxen, oil at less than 10 tefachim. That type of use, because we see the bed has that type of use, and it's not an oil at less than 10 tefachim. Rather, it's different by shvarim, by the oxen, because they're made to hold the back of the ox is made to hold, and the belly of the ox is made to hold that which is beneath it, the b'nei me'ayim, the intestines of the ox. That's really what it is. It's made to cover and to protect the intestines of the ox. Shenemar ur ubasar tabisheni, as the pasuk says, ur ubasar tabisheni uba atzamos vigidim tesochcheni, as the pasuk says that ur ubasar tabisheni, you cloaked me in skin and flesh, and in bones and gidin and tendons tesochcheni, you were masachich, you protected me and covered me. So we see from there that this function, this role of these atzamos, of the bones of the ox, have a din of schach, of a protective covering. So therefore we'll use even the ribs, even the lower part of the belly of the ox. We see from this pasuk that since they're megan al b'nei me'ayim shohem, that shows that function of megan is determined, is defined as schach, is called schach, and we'll see it's soichich, it hovers over, it covers over, it protects. Therefore the bones of the ox will serve to be an oil, a schach, a covering for that which is beneath them. At the end of the day, seemingly we do go by the bottom of the belly of the ox. Anything in the bones, it's a pasuk. It's like a gzeiras hakasuv in a sense, that the atzamos of the shor, of the animal, the ox, are considered schach, are considered a covering to that which is beneath them. That's the idea. So therefore, the ox will be an oil at less than 10 tefachim. The Iboy Seimo, or you could say that Taka Rebbe Yehuda holds that the Mita should be like the ox, the bed would be like the ox, and really would be the bed would be like an ox. Oh, I'm sorry, let's go back. The Iboy Seimo, this is again a second response to our question that why does Rebbe Yehuda hold that the Mita isn't an oil? Right? We said he should hold the Mita as an oil. What's the problem? So he said the Mita is not an oil because it's only made for that which is on top of it. That was our first answer. It's not called an oil because it's not made for that which is on top of it. Even at, it's early in the morning, you have to be easy with me. Even at Tentafachim, Rabbi Huda argued and said, this isn't an oil. You're sleeping under the sukkah, not the bed. Not the bed. So Why wasn't it an oil? We asked. The Rabbi Yehuda answers, because the bed is made to hold that which is on top of it, not for that which is underneath it. We asked from the ox. We answered, it's a pasuk. Fine. That was his answer. That's therefore it's not an oil, and you're considered to be sleeping under the sukkah because it's only made to hold that which is on top of it. Or you could say a different answer to that question. The Rabbi Yehuda held that a bed of tentafachim is an oil. It is an oil. It isn't. It does work. The Amar Sukkah Diras Keva Buinan. We find that Rabbi Yehuda defines the Sukkah as a Diras Keva. We said this earlier on Daf Zion that there are many Tanoim that held that you needed a Diras Keva. And we said that since Rabbi Yehuda holds that above 20 Amos, the Sukkah is kosher, we see that he holds that it could be Diras Keva. You don't need Diras Arai. It could be an established and set, permanently built dwelling structure. So since he holds that the Sukkah would be a Diras Keva, so the oil, this covering of the mita, this tent of the bed, is a diras arai, is a temporary dwelling structure. The sukkah oil keva, and the sukkah is a permanently built, permanently structured dwelling structure. V'lo asi oil ram avato oil keva, because since I have a established house, for example, an established sukkah, which is a permanent structure, and I'm sitting under a temporary structure, I therefore don't view. Because it's temporary, I don't say I'm in the oil, I'm in this tent, I'm in under this bed, I'm not under the sukkah. Because the sukkah is so permanent, the temporary bed, that temporary covering, the temporary structure of the bed is not sufficient to negate the larger permanent structure. I simply view myself as being in a tent, i.e. under the bed, in the sukkah. So I still view myself as being in the sukkah. Says Rabbi Yehuda, because lo asi diras arai mavatal diras keva, a temporary dwelling structure cannot come and be mavatal a permanent dwelling structure. Oh, v'har Rabbi Shimon, we know that Rabbi Shimon was one of these tanoim that held that you need a permanent, that the sukkah can be built as a diras keva. It can also be a permanent dwelling structure. That was one of he was one of the tanoim listed in the Gemara on Daf Zayin of tanoim that held that a permanent dwelling structure, that the sukkah could be a diras keva, because he was the opinion that held that the sukkah could be four walls, right? Four walls. We said you only need three. He said you need four, right? Yeshem l'masaris. So Rabbi Shimon also held that it was a diras keva. And in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is the one who brings the story of Tevi, the servant of Rabban Gamaliel, that he says, we learn out from this maisa that a person can't sleep under a bed in a sukkah. So Vahar Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Nami, sukkah diras keva, boina, Rabbi Shimon also, we also held that we need the sukkah to be a diras keva. V'asi ol arai mevata oil keva. So, right, he holds that an oil arai is apparently mevata an oil keva. You can't sleep under the bed. You're called sleeping under the bed, not the permanent dwelling structure of the sukkah. Baha Pligi, we see that's the machlokas. That's a machlokas in Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Mar sever asi ol arai mevata oil keva, mar sever lo asi ol arai mevata oil keva. Rabbi Yehuda held that a temporary dwelling structure cannot negate the larger established keva, permanent dwelling structure, permanently built dwelling structure. And Rabbi Shimon held that he could. Sleeping under a temporary dwelling structure will negate the permanent dwelling structure. We'll say you're under the bed, you're not under the sukkah, even though the sukkah is a permanent dwelling structure, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda would say no, since the sukkah is intrinsically more significant than the bed, oil, than the bed domain, we'll say you're under the bed in the sukkah. So you're still considered to be in the sukkah. And that's the machlokes. Okay, so let's recap. Just to recap, make sense of it a little bit. I was off a little bit in the recap. I'll fix that. We have a machlokes, if a naturally formed oil is an oil or not. Rabbanan hold that it is. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not. We say it's only up to a male egrov, kamale egrov. After that, it is an oil if it's naturally formed. Then we say, good. By Rabbi Yehuda, then that he holds it's an oil. And we've defined the definition of what is an oil by Rabbi Yehuda. According to those parameters, the bed in our Mishnah, sleeping under a bed, Rabbi Yehuda holds you can sleep under a bed. Why not? That should be an oil according to his parameters of what is an oil. That should be an oil. So we can't say the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is it an oil or is it not an oil? He would hold that it is an oil. So why can you sleep underneath it? It should be you're underneath this domain, underneath this roof, not underneath the sukkah. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold you can sleep under a bed in a sukkah? So we say two answers. Number one, could be that he holds that since the bed is made primarily for that which is on top of it and not to cover, not as a roof, for that which is below it, that's not an oil. So good. No oil. You're directly underneath the sukkah. We asked by oxes. Oxes are also made for that which is on top of it. And we said maybe because there's a use for it, we said that doesn't really work. Used to being underneath it to protect yourself, that doesn't work because the mita also has that extent of a function for underneath. And still we say it's not an oil. So we say the oxus is exeris akosif that we call it tzotzonis. We call the bones schach of a covering because they protect the b'nei me'ayim. So we see it schach. Once we call it a covering, it would be considered a covering and an oil for that which is underneath it. Fine. Second answer. Why, Rabbi Yehuda, you hold it's an oil? Right, back to our question. If it is an oil, according to your parameters, what is and what is not an oil? And apparently the fact that it's primarily made to be on top of it, we're saying now, that wouldn't make it not an oil. It's still an oil by the bed. So why can you sleep underneath the bed? And our answer is because it's a temporary dwelling structure, the bed. And by Rabbi Yehuda, his shita is that sukkah is a diras keva. It's a permanent dwelling structure. And a temporary dwelling structure cannot negate a permanent dwelling structure. You're considered to be underneath the bed in the sukkah. We always recognize you as being under the permanent dwelling structure because it's intrinsically superior. Those are the two answers. Oh, Rabbi Shimon, he also holds a permanent dwelling structure. He holds you can't sleep underneath the bed. It's machlokas. Does a temporary dwelling structure negate a permanent dwelling structure? Just to make sense of it, okay, we got it down. That was like 2 minutes. We got basically the whole daf so far. I'm Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon, Maisa B'Tevi Avdo. There's Maisa B'Tevi, the servant of Rabbi Gamaliel. Tanya B'Lin of the Brysa. I'm Rabbi Shimon, Missy Chaso, Rabbi Gamaliel. From the casual conversation of Rabbi Gamaliel. Lamadnu shnei devarim. We learn out two things. Lamadnu shevadim p'turim in a sukkah. V'lamadnu shayoshen tachas amita liot zedei chavaso. We learn out that an eved does not have to sit, does not have to be mekayim in the midst of sukkah. He's pater from the sukkah. And we also learn out that one who sleeps under a bed is not yotze their chiyuv of sitting in the sukkah. That's okay. It's really in our Mishnah. V'lema. So we say v'lema medevarim shrub gamaliel. Say midvar of Rabban Gamaliel. What's Missy Chaso Shal Rabban Gamaliel? From the casual conversation of Rabban Gamaliel, the joking conversation. Say from the words of Rabban Gamaliel, which is the normal way to express it. Rabban Gamaliel said something. This is what we learned from it. We say Milsa Agavorche Kamashmalon. He's coming to tell us a side point. Tihoda Amar Rav Ocha Bar Ado. Amar Ravacha bar Oda Marav Hamnuna. Amar Rav. Either Ravacha bar Oda said it or Rav said it. Minayin shafilu sicha tamidei chachamim tzricha limid. From where do we know that even the sicha, even the casual conversation of tamidei chachamim tzricha limid, needs to be learned into, it needs to be delved into and analyzed because there's so much to take out of it. Shenemar, as it says, va'aleu lo yibol. The pasuk says even the leaves don't dry up, even the small parts don't dry up. The side points, lo yibol, it doesn't dry up. They also have so much substance. So we say sichasun shel tamidei chachamim tzricha limid. Okay. Next mishnah, we're gonna do it. Hasoimech sukaso bikra yamita. One who supports his sukkah with the post of a bed. What we have here is a totally enclosed bed. View it like this. You have basically a square with boards that are very high. Then there's a mattress within the rectangle. There's a board within the rectangle, a bottom board going horizontal that's contained within the rectangle with a mattress on it. So it's basically a bed that the frame of the bed extends way above the bed. How do you get into it? I don't know. There must be a door or something. Okay, fine. That's kosher. Then you put kosher schach on top, and the schach is tenth of fachim above the bed, of the top of the bed, right within this bedposts. It would be kosher. Oh, it's a davar makabel tuma. That's by the schach. Davar makabel tuma is not okay, but by the defanus, you can use whatever you want. So the Tanakhama says kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im eino ma im eino yochola lamod bifnei atzma pesula. If the schach can't stand by itself and it's only being supported by the posts of the bed, which it is in this case because those are your walls, then it's puzzle because he holds, and we'll see in a second what the reason is. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda, what's pshat Rabbi Yehuda that he holds you can't do this? That it would be puzzle were the schach not to be independently supported. He holds it could be on top of the posts of the bed, but we need to be either suspended to something else. It would need to be either on poles outside of the bedposts and supported. If it's only supported by the bedposts, no good. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda, what's pshat in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Pligi bo Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. It's machlokes Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. Chadamar mipnei she'en lo keva v'chadamar mipnei she'mamida b'davar shem kabal tuma. One said it's because it's en lo keva. He held sukkah diris keva bo'inan. The sukkah needs to be a certain permanent status, we find. Not only can it be, but it needs to be a certain permanent status, as we mentioned above, which we only saw from his shita that he happened to allow a sukkah above 20 amos, but fine. We see that it needs to be like this. That's the standard in a sense. And it doesn't have keva. It doesn't have stability. It's not considered to be a stable structure that could be built in a permanent fashion, right? Because it's standing only on a kli. It's only standing on bedposts. It's not as established. It's on top of a vessel instead of being permanently set. That's what we say. Mipnei she'en lo keva. It's not established. And one says it's because you're upholding the schach with a material that is makabel tuma. That's his problem. Not only does the schach Rabbi Yehuda need to be of a material that is not receptive to tuma, but the support of the schach, that which actually directly supports the schach, must be of a material that is not makabel tuma. We'll see in a second. My binai, what would be a difference between the two cases? What would be a case where they would argue by these two opinions, what is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Kagon shenot shvudin shabarzel. For example, you had boards, normal. You had a normal sukkah, and you put shvudin shabarzel. You put metal poles across the sukkah, v'sichachaleim, and you put schach on top. Lamanda amel v'shein lakeva harish lakeva. If the issue over here by our Mishnah is because it's not stable, it's not set. So by over there, it is set. You have a normal sukkah, totally, you know, normal sukkah, and then you have these poles coming across, so it's set. But by the manda amar that umanda amar mipnei shemamida b'davar makabel tuma, that the issue is you can't support schach with, you're keeping maimed, you can't support the schach, uphold the schach with a material that's makabel tuma, that's receptive to tuma, hermamida b'davar makabel tuma, then you are supporting it with a material that is makabel tuma, the metal poles, metal shvudin. Again, it would be resting entirely on the metal shvudim here. So that would be a case where there would be a ikebeinayu, a case that would split these two opinions, a difference in the two opinions. Amar Abaye, of what is the problem by Rabbi Yehuda? Says Abaye, Loshanu elasmach, Loshanu elasomach. The only issue here, says Abaye, is where it's being supported by the bedpost. There, Rabbi Yehuda holds no good because you're being mimed it with a davar hamakabel tuma, or whatever. Or it's in lakeva, whatever it happens to be. But if you have this bed as your walls of your sukkah, but then you have like four posts going up that are actually upholding the schach, it's not being somach, right? We only learn by somach, but the schach is being supported by the bedposts. But if you just put schach on top of the bedpost and you're using the bedpost as your walls of your sukkah, but the schach is being supported some other way that does not constitute walls, right? It's suspended to something else, or it's being upheld by four poles, whatever, four thin poles. Then kasher, Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's kasher. My time, why? Because l'man damar l'fishe in the keva reish l'keva l'man damar m'pinei shem amida b'davar m'kavatumah reish ein amida b'davar m'kavatumah. Because over here it is keva, it is established, because these poles establish it's on top of a vessel. The sach's not being upheld by a vessel; it is being upheld in a normal fashion, and it's not being upheld by a davar m'kavatumah. It's not being upheld by a material that is receptive to tumah. We pask in the Tanakhama. Again, although our discussions in Rabbi Yehuda here, we pask in the Tanakhama that it would be kosher. Yeah, this case of being sochich on top of the bedposts. But lehatchila, a person should be zoyer, should be careful. It's a chumrah. It's a very much like lehatchila to be careful in this, but it's brought down. A person should be careful to not support his schach with a material that is makabel tumah. That would be an issue. And we'll get into that later in a few later cases. One example would be when you tie down the schach, you shouldn't tie it down with a material that is makabel tumah. Use hemp or something like that. But it's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. Okay, we have a few minutes, like 3 minutes. I'm going to speak out a few things for a second. See Chazanish, if anyone wants to go more into that halacha, there's a lot of chumrahs, interesting halachas, interesting points in the Chazanish and Kufmim Gimel, base and Gimel. Give a little vart here. So we say, Hasomech Sukasa Bikroya Mita. One who supports his Sukkah Bikroya Mita with the posts of the bed. We mentioned yesterday, just to kind of follow us into yesterday a little bit, we mentioned Barakara Davua. The son is the leg, is the extension of the father. He's the extension of the father. He's like the leg of the father, the extension of the father. And we mentioned that you say to your father, after 12 months, Harini Kaparas Mishkovo. So we say, when Yaakov Avinu died, Harini Mitasar Shlema, the Mita is reference to the coffin. And the son is Kara Davua. Says Rav Moshe Tzvimis of Ron, my name is Yaakov Moshe. The Moshe is 50% named after Moshe Tzvimis of Ron, indirectly, Zaidi, and then fine. Says Rav Moshe Tzvimis of Ron, he says that when you do a Avodas Hashem, Sukkah, I'm going to say it a little differently. Sukkah is Melashin Yisked, Aroya, to see your perspective in life, your approach to life. As it says, Soicha Berucha Kodesh. Sarah was called Yisked because she was Soicha Berucha Kodesh. You could see Berucha Kodesh. Agav. Rav Pinchas Mikaret says that if you do Sukkah properly, you'll be Zoicha Berucha Kodesh. And we'll get to that when we talk about Simas Pesach Shueva. But one whose perspective in life is only Bikra Yamita, he's Soimech Sukaso, his whole support. Is Bikroy Amita, is his Barakara Davua of the coffin of his father, of the mita of his father. It's all Zuchus Avis. It's all, this is how the Zeta did it. This is what a Yid does. This is how a Yid does it. That's what you do. That's not enough. La Yotzi Yedei Chavaso. You didn't fulfill your obligation in Avodas Hashem. That wouldn't be sufficient. Although we need that to be Magdir us, especially in nowadays in America, things are so pervasive. We need to say, this is a Yid, and this is what he does, and that's the way, and I don't have to think about it. To a certain extent, to create the frame, that frame has to be filled with a panemius, with a personal connection to Yiddishkeit, with a personal drive and personal fulfillment. You need both. The Ora Meir speaks about this. Person needs both. It can't be somech sukasa b'kroy amita. We say by a sukkah. When you build this, again, the sukkah, again, is your whole relationship with Hashem. You're engrossing yourself, encompassing yourself, and being in your devekus, to the Rabbanu Shalalim on all sides. That's the end of the sukkah as well. Our whole Avodas Hashem can't be only Zuchus Avos. It has to be our initiative as well. It has to be both. We say, Tase V'lomina Osoi, says Moshe Tzvimis of Ron. Tase, you have to make it. V'lomina Osoi. You can't take a sukkah that's already made. You can't take that which is already made. And how do we do it? We bring it full circle in our lives. Everything that we do, we have to be Makasher to the Rabbanu Shalalim. Why am I doing it? What am I doing? We say, Sichasen Shel Tamidei Chachamim Tzrichalim. It says the Degomachan Ephraim Parshas Kedoshim. That, what does that mean? Because the Talmid Chacham, all of us are Tamidei Chachamim, all of us are Yidden. When a person eats, I'm eating so that I can do Avodas Hashem. It's full circle. There's no break in the Devekis. He brings from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says, V'sartem v'yavatem aluchim acherim. When you'll go away and you'll serve other gods. He says, V'sartem, when you break from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you break from that Devekis, you break from that track, Then vevatim alechin acherim. You're looking over to Avodah Zarah. There's no makom for that. There's no room for that. It can't just be in the daf yomi. It has to be on the drive home. It has to be in the workplace. You have to bring it full circle. Why am I doing this? And what am I doing it for? Why am I doing this? To support a Yiddish of Mishpacha. Why am I supporting a Yiddish Mishpacha? To bring about Avodah Hashem, to bring about Kiddush Shemayim, because that's my tafkid in the world. Tie it all back to that tachlis. Even the sichim, the casual conversation, there's so much to learn from, because that's also all connected to the Torah of the Talmidei Chachamim. Says, I forgot who says it, but David HaMelech says, in David HaShemoyri, he says, Acha shalti meis Hashem osavake. She asked for one thing, osavake, shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. I want to sit in the beis Hashem all of my life. Lachsus benoyam Hashem olavake beicholo, to be close with the Rabban Hashem, to be dovak in the Rabban Hashem. What does that mean? We ask for 18, we ask for so many things in the Shemona Esrei. Refua, bracha, acha sha'alti, because all of that that we're asking for is for that one purpose. The biggest in the Rabban Hashem, and that's